Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Harold. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, Love is Blind, Season 6, Episode 4, Recap. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
Thought, is it okay to pee in the pool? How about the shower?
No. So, I don't know who Mackenzie was talking about that said this, but Mackenzie said that in the ladies' lounge, she pees in the pool in the shower. Now, peeing in the shower, I see nothing wrong with. I think a lot of people do that. No big deal. Peeing in the pool, unless it's your pool in your own backyard, maybe. But outside of that, if it's a community space, you don't pee in that. That's gross.
Everybody pees in the pool. What are you talking about? And by the way, I just want to say, this is not how I expected this episode to start. And I was like, you know what? Okay, so this is what happens when women get together and they sit around and talk. Who pees and who's drinking the pee, apparently?
Everybody doesn't pee in the pool.
Okay.
Everybody doesn't do it. Children do it.
99.9%.
Adults should not pee in the pool.
But they do.
They shouldn't.
Do you pee in the ocean?
I really don't get in the ocean, but if I was in the ocean, probably would. But that's different.
Why is it different?
Than a pool. Because the ocean is big.
Massive. Okay, not if you're in
this
area with somebody.
It's not a small little pool. That's just certain. No, you don't do it.
Chemicals.
You don't do it. There's social standards that we should have. There's a social contract. You don't pee in the pool.
The only social standard is if they have that chemical in the pool that when you pee, a big blue so everybody can see that you pee in the pool. That's the only time you don't pee in the pool.
No. Pee in the pool is nasty. You should never do it. And I agree with AD. Don't pee in the pool that I'm in.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something. If we're chilling by the pool and all of a sudden I get up and just run and jump in the pool, then don't get in because I'm probably peeing in the pool.
Hold on. Let me make a quick note. Do not go swimming in the pool with Yanni. I haven't been in a pool with you since UTSA 30 years ago. So
I probably peed in the pool then too.
You probably now I know. Now I know you're a peer. That's fine. No. Disgusting.
I don't see how you think that's better than peeing in the shower. In the shower.
I didn't say it was better. I said you shouldn't. The shower goes down there, but it's just you. Now
are
you're
you
taking
aiming
a shower
for the drain?
It all goes down the drain. I'm not like
okay. It all gets filtered in the pool. What's your point?
But it's not like a water hose where it's just all hitting the walls of the shower. It goes right down, you know. But in the shower by yourself, pee in the shower. If you're taking a shower with someone, then I go back to the social contract. You don't pee in the pool. You don't pee in the shower with somebody, but by yourself, who cares? But you never pee in the pool.
That was actually going to be my next question. So what if you and your girlfriend are in the shower together? Are you going to pee in there? You know, I got to go.
No.
Move over, babe.
No.
Hey, babe, lift your leg up.
Hey, babe, make a hoop. Make a circle. I'm going to see if I can get it to the circle.
Oh, my God. Oh, that was terrible, Yanni. That was absolutely terrible.
No, I would never do that.
Oh, my God. I wonder what my wife would do if I tried that.
I don't want to know.
Neither do I.
I don't want to know. But no, my rule of thumb, we're in the shower together. We don't pee. By yourself, pee in the shower is fine. You don't pee in the bathtub. So that's another one. If you're taking a bubble bath, you don't pee in that.
Oh, well, you shouldn't.
Same it's like a pool.
No, pool has chemicals. It's okay.
Well, depending on what you put in your bubble bath, there's chemicals in that too.
I'm going to leave this alone. Let's just get to this episode. This pee conversation is a little different than what Sarah and Jeremy were doing because they started with the sex conversation and talking during sex. And Sarah Ann says she have full-on conversation during sex.
I thought that was weird because she's asking Jeremy, you know, well, do you talk during sex? And he's like, no. But she asked, do you like noise, whatever. So she says she's had full-on conversations. That's where I'm like, what were you doing? And Jeremy boldly proclaims that he has never been with someone capable of talking during sex. So I'm like, okay, Jeremy, you're spitting a lot of game here. Hope you can back that up.
But hey, every man has tried to have that show out moment if the phone rings and she has to answer the phone.
But I just can't imagine when she says full conversations during sex. What are you talking about? It's like if you're talking about, and then is the conversation like about the sex? Like, you know what I really like when you do this? Da-da-da, it feels really good. It reminds me of this time when I was in college. I'm like, what conversation are you having? It's one thing to have to make noise and talk, you know, that's no big deal. But a conversation?
You know, the interesting thing about these two, this because this conversation seemed kind of weird with them, right? But then he says it to her that he's got more of a sexual connection with her than a mental. He didn't say emotional, but that's what he meant. Like, hey, we got a good sexual chemistry. And this is why I feel like, and I've said this before, it doesn't feel like it's a romantic relationship. They seem like buddies.
Well, I wonder, how do you have sexual chemistry through the wall? You know what I mean? You know, because I think sexual chemistry, when you the way you look at each other, you can kind of feel like there's some type of energy. Maybe they're talking about things that he likes, right? Mm-hmm. That stimulate him sexually. And I think that's probably where he's going, where he might be having deeper conversations with someone else. Mm-hmm. But with Sarah Ann, it seems surface level. I wouldn't call it buddy. I would call it like closer to friend with benefits.
Buddy
situation. Well, no, friend with benefits is different than a buddy.
Whatever you call it.
Hey, if I look at you and say, "Look here, buddy," look at me, that is not.
Yeah, don't ever do that then.
So Sarah also said that you know, so many things in her life feels like she's being judged, and it made me think about her 4,000 people on Instagram, all the videos she puts out on TikTok, mm-hmm. all the Botox. So I'm wondering, is that says fillers. Something about her mm-hmm. then, and how she handles this judgment. Then she tells Jeremy that the only person that makes her feel alive in this experiment is him. Mm. And, you know, then Jeremy says he has feelings for her and there's the sexual tension. But to your point, he didn't profess the same type of feelings that she is. And I really don't think she likes him that much.
Well, I don't know, because obviously I say that, but then she goes in back into the women's quarters and says she's going to marry Jeremy. Of course, Laura overhears this and is like, oh, my God. But she's feeling like, OK, this is going to be it.
I just think I don't know. I just don't buy into it. I feel like it's just fake for the show, because really, I think she's possibly somebody that's trying to get her subscriber numbers up. But it just says, when you look at all the other couples, those have been engaged already and those that are still have yet to propose. There just seems to be more depth to their feelings and what they share with each other. Sarah Ann didn't really share that much. I just don't think she likes him like that.
That's a good point. Well, Laura definitely likes him like that. At least it seems that way. And as they're on their date, Laura and Jeremy, Laura said that she made a pros and cons list. And she ran out of space on the pros.
It's a good sign.
But what was up with the cons? Because it sounded like she said it was shorter, but ...
She didn't say what they were.
Right.
But, you know, still a small list. I think you always want to have more pros than cons in any situation, but especially in this experiment where you're really putting it all on the line for someone you've never seen before. Right. So, you know, I give her kudos for at least making a list. I don't think Sarah has a list. She tells Jeremy they are aligned on many things and he is her only choice. Wow. And then Jeremy tells Laura he's falling for her because everything about her checks off all his boxes. He didn't say anything like that to Sarah Ann. I think these two probably have a bit more of a real connection that's not just based on sexual tension.
Brittany and Kenneth, speaking of connection, these two have it, right? It's interesting, as they're getting ready to walk out and meet each other, Brittany's like, well, you know, Kenneth identifies as a black man. I'm like, hold up.
Identifies?
Trust me, baby. Everyone that has ever seen him identifies him as a black man, okay? This ain't Tiger Woods.
See, Rachel Dolezal screwed it up for everybody. You can just identify as this. He doesn't identify as a black man. He's a black man.
Yo, that to me was just some woke shit to say. Yeah, he identifies as a black man. Yeah, no. What now? What if he just actually he's a black man, but actually identifies as a white man? Is that going to be okay with you?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. No. He is definitely a black man, but I get it. And of course, you know, she says the color of her partner's skin doesn't matter to her, and I still don't know for sure if she's ever dated someone.
I'm going to prove to you she did, but go ahead.
Before. Continue. And then for Kenneth, this is the first white woman that not only has he ever dated, but mm-hmm. even married, and the first white woman he's ever dated, married, that he never saw.
Yeah.
First. You know, I mean, so you think about this experiment, if you never dated a white girl before, you're just rolling the dice that it's going to be good on the other side of the wall. But when they actually do finally meet,
yes,
they really look good together.
They
you know?
Look good and, together. Their reactions to seeing each other right. was amazing.
Right, they're cute. Right. They're cute, and they have that connection, that bond. It was I couldn't count how many times they kept saying "I love you," but I think I'm excited for these two to see how this works, because right now it's all good in the pods. Now the real fun happens when you get out of the pods. So okay. I'm curious to see what their journey is going to look like.
Here's the proof that either Brittany has dated a black man before, she's got a best friend that's a black woman or a gay black man, or she's been to a black church. Because he's like, oh my God, it's good. She goes all the time. Yo, she did not even skip a beat. She was like, all the time. I was like, yes, you go, girl.
You know, maybe when you put see? It like that.
See?
Maybe, because I think that should be a whole nother social experiment. Like walking to a predominantly all white church, God is good.
God is good.
See what the reaction is.
They'd be like, and I guarantee. Yes, he is. Would you please sit down? Service is almost over.
But I guarantee you go to any black church and someone says, God is good, everybody, all the time. So maybe she has.
The minute she said that, I kind of had a feeling, just something about her. I mean, you know, she's got a strong white Southern accent, that Southern Belle accent. But I was just like, something about her just says she's not trying to be anything that she's not, but she's been around black people before, right? She's hung tight with them or dated. And then she said that. And he's like, oh, God is good. She goes, all the time. Right on cue.
Well, maybe we'll find out, because I still want to hear it from her mouth that she's actually dated black men before. I'm just curious if she has.
You know, it's funny because it was almost as if he's looking at her in a way, right? That he can see him just kind of looking, things are trying to click, and it's not fitting into place yet. But he's just like, because she's hot, she's this. He's like, he's looking at like, this is the best one in the group. It's got to be. There can't be somebody hotter over there, right? And then it wasn't until he asked her how she was feeling. She's like, well, I'm hot on the inside. He was like, as soon as you said that, now I hear your voice. And now it clicked. And it was interesting to watch that moment happen in real time in his head, when all of a sudden, because we think automatically the voice, oh, of course you're going to recognize it, but we're seeing the two together. So for us, it's easy. But for them, they've only heard the voice. And it's not till something is said that they go, ah, that's who he is.
Right, right. That would be a whole weird thing. You know, I couldn't do this experiment, but that would be weird to do, because you're trying to figure out all those things, what they look like. And then for Kenneth, it's even more weird. I've dated many different races. If Kenneth has only really dated black women, now he knows he's talking to this white girl on the other side, but he doesn't know what she looks like. I mean, it's a gamble, you know?
That's a hell of a gamble.
So far, it's working out right. I like the fact that they both have the same religious values, because that's something that's come up in many of these reality shows where one person has a strong faith and the other one doesn't. Mm-hmm. So the fact they're on the same page with that is great. Did you notice that they didn't kiss right away? I'm like, this is your first white girl. You got to kiss her as soon as y'all meet at the door, or you got to like wait a second?
I did notice that. And she was ready. She was ready from the get-go, right? And she was also like, oh yeah, you know, I'm ready. Got my lips ready for a kiss. He didn't right away, and I'm glad he didn't wait too long, and because he was trying to get comfortable in that moment. And I think, and this is why when you talk about it being it's a gamble, right? The gamble is for him a lot going on in his mind, because again, he's a black man in the South dating his first white woman. And the things you've heard over time have been so many different things. So what happens in this moment, right? And right. Do I rush in? If it was a sister who was as good looking as Britney is, would he automatically rush and kiss her immediately? Or would he have the same reservations? Because that may just be him. He's fine with waiting till marriage. He's not running to be like, oh, let me tongue you down right now. He's just like, all right, let me get the hug. Let me see how comfortable she is with me first. And I think that's more what it is. I don't think it has anything to do with her race. I don't think it has to do with any of that. And I know we joke about that a lot, but at the end of the day, I think for him, he's a respectable young man, old ass young man, just like she's an old ass young woman. And this is where their respectability comes in. As old folks used to call them, they're old souls.
Yeah, well, I think they're both pretty wise for the age. And we talked about that on the last episode based on things that they went through. But still, I'm happy for them. And I still reiterate, hell, I can wait 4 weeks till marriage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're going to maybe wait 4 weeks, I could pull that off. Now, I wonder if Kenneth would be like, okay, well, we just met out on a dating app or in the real world. And then the normal process of getting engaged, would he wait that long? But that's his business. But I think that's going to work out for these two so far.
Who's that? Well, let's be honest. On a dating app, it's not God who's blessing it. It's the devil. Chelsea and Trevor. Here's what I liked about this date. Chelsea, it's supposed to be gifts given in this one, right? Chelsea gives Trevor a gift. And that gift is almost like the bond touch. You wrote down what it looked like.
I just wrote down bracelet. It wasn't anything special. I wrote down a bracelet that says, my heart is always yours. Mm-hmm. And I guess you tap it and the other person's bracelet vibrates to let them know that you're thinking about them.
So that's kind of like what I have here, right? I have the bond touch, and it's something that my wife got for us. And it's one of those things where you tap it and it taps on her wrist. And it's just like, hey, let you know I'm thinking about you. And the reason we even got this, she's never been the person to bug me, like text me and I'm working, so I don't respond for a couple hours. Never like, why are you not responding to my text? She's never been that person.
Yeah.
But it was just, her thing was like, all right, well, it's taking you too long to respond. Because if you're in a meeting and the phone it goes off, you may read the text, but you put it back down because you're in the meeting. Right. But with this, if my hand buzzes, I just tap it back and you smile. Nobody knows why you're smiling. And unless they have one of these, they have no idea what you're doing. And you just tap it. In the middle of a meeting, no matter what you're doing, you just tap it. That person knows you're thinking about them. I thought it was just a great gift.
You just feel it. Like a little vibration. So whenever you feel that, you know they're thinking about you.
Yeah, you look down. So for me, mine is green. So if I tap it, it shows up green on my wife's hand. Hers is pink. So when she taps it on her side, on my side, it shows up pink. And they're different. If you tap certain ways, it's almost like Morse code. You can tap certain things to tap certain. You can attach certain messages according to your tap rotation, your tap variations in it.
So then it pops up a message on there. So I could type.
Will show up in the app on your phone.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. But I can program it to be like, what? Damn.
Yes, you can. Yeah. That's not.
What?
That's not what it's for. Jesus. Yeah. Did you notice, though, Chelsea's also talking a lot about their future in this date, too, right?
Yeah, she is. You know, she's really saying all the things that is leading me to believe. I'm like, okay, Chelsea's all in on Trevor.
Yes.
And we already know Trevor's all in. So I'm like, okay, this thing is going to work. I like Trevor's gift, where he has the rock with the word love written on it in Braille because love is blind. Yeah. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. They talk about, you know, doing all these things together, volunteering and how they would support each other through tough times. I mean, I really think they are a great match, and I'm hoping that Chelsea chooses him at this point.
And then Trevor drops the L-bomb again and again and again and again. She says absolutely nothing in return.
She doesn't, but yet my heart is always yours. To me, that's like saying, I love you.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. And let's be real. Neither you nor I feel good about the way she's doing Trevor, because Trevor's a genuinely good guy. In the men's quarters, they're all talking about the fact that him and Jimmy are going after the same woman. And he's just like, hey, if you win, good for you.
Yeah, said I'll be happy for you.
Yes.
If you win, I'm either going to be celebrating you, or actually, joke to first, I'm either going to be celebrating you, or I'm going to throw you through a wall.
Ha ha.
Yeah. Like, don't mess up. Don't be slipping. But again, compared to the ladies' lounge, I mean, I think Trevor and Jimmy, they both know they're going after the same person.
Yeah.
And they're being really cool about it. And each of them want each other to be happy. So again, I'm like, come on, Chelsea, pick Trevor, tell him you love him, and we can move on. But we'll see.
Next up, AD and Clay. And AD said she was lost in the beginning, but now she's found. No, you mean Matthew left.
Yeah. Yeah. So she said that she's felt comfort in Clay, you know, and even, you know, Clay is, and I'll give Clay his props here. I mean, he's really trying to open it up a whole lot. He said he never anticipated he'd be here and find a fiance that he doesn't know what they look like, because that part came out. So he had a process dealing with that.
Translation. Damn it. Time's running out.
Yeah. He said that he wants to be a better person for her. And then, of course, he breaks out the Bible verse. This is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lead not to your own understanding, which I'm like, OK, that's nice, but I don't understand. But whatever. You did that. He said this experience has taught him a lot. He said he usually leads with the physical and all his accolades, but AD saw through his BS.
Mm.
And that's why he chose her. And so he decides to bend the knee and propose. And then AD says, I can't even make that high pitched squeal that she does when she gets happy. I can't even. So she says yes.
You know, it's interesting. We might as well just go through their whole thing with them as they get ready to meet, right? And it's interesting when they do see each other.
Yeah.
Because he's definitely happy when he sees her from a distance and sees her body. I mean, he gets up close and sees her body. He's just like, damn. You know, the one thing I did notice very early on is I feel like, or at least it feels to me, like he has the upper hand in this relationship. And he almost tries to assert it immediately, like, well, you know, I'm a baby. And he was, let me just lay on you. Let me do that. And, you know, it's just a little much because I don't know what it is. Something just tells me he feels he has the upper hand. And maybe I can't really describe it, but it feels like he feels he has the upper hand. And he's going to be the one that's controlling this entire thing because she's going to fall way too hard for him. And he's just, all right, cool, whatever.
I see where you're going with that. I mean, when this whole thing started, there's something about Clay. I'm just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I will compliment his suit, though. I thought his suit was pretty fly.
Yeah.
And when you see these two together, they actually look good together. You know, but did you notice how Clay kept his eyes on her body the whole time?
Yeah.
Oh, every chance he got, he just kept taking a look and looking at that. He said that, oh, your back is so smooth and I love backs. She goes, I got a lot of back. Oh, yes, you sure do. I mean, hey, he could not
stop. No lies were told, though.
Yeah, he could not stop. You know, but I didn't really like the whole, you know, I like to be babied. You know, you got to baby me sometimes.
I hated that.
And there's some dudes who are like that. I don't need to be babied. And so it's just for me, I'm like, ugh, but good for her. But I laughed. I literally laughed out loud when they're sitting there and she looks at him. She's like, black love. And I was like, wait a minute. What happened to Matthew? What were you going to say then?
Well, did you notice that she was like, I didn't know you were going to be this dark skin. Did you catch that part? And he then even said, yeah, we're going to make some beautiful black babies, some beautiful dark skinned babies. And I was like, all right, cool. But the way she made that comment initially, so she, in her mind, knew that he was somebody she kind of dated before, fits the same profile. But so obviously she likes the light skinned guys in that manner. Cause she's like, I had no idea you're going to be this dark. And it's not like he's not Wesley Snipes.
Right.
So it's interesting. I just thought that was an interesting comment. One thing I did notice is that sexual chemistry, top of the line. Like, they're definitely going to be the first couple to do it. Easy.
You think so?
Hands down. Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I don't know. I'll challenge that bet.
Okay. Who do you think will be the first to do it? But we can't say yet because we don't have all the couples yet. So we'll wait till we get all the couples. Yeah.
Right.
Because, yeah, I honestly think, I mean, just from their meeting, I mean, because she's into him. She likes him, right? Because she wants to be loved. And he's into her body.
Eee!
Exactly.
Eee!
Did you like how he walked her back to the door, though? Nobody's ever done that, at least as far as I can remember. Six seasons in, nobody has walked the other part, the woman, back to her door. They've all kind of separated and gone their separate ways. And but he walked her to her door, kissed her, and said, all right, I'll see you on the other side. And then took the long walk the other way. That says a lot that he even did that, because that's something nobody else has done. Gotta give him props on that.
I can't say it says a lot. I mean, it's something. Yeah.
Said he didn't want to let go of that body. That's what it was.
He wants to give a few more love taps to that booty before she goes, before the door closes.
That's what it was. Look, Jessica and Jimmy, these two, man, they're on this first date of this episode, and Jimmy's hitting them being engaged, talking about, I can't wait to see you and what it'll be like. I keep thinking about kissing you and hugging you. Basically, he's telling her, I'm choosing you, right? Isn't that what it sounds like?
No, it just sounds like he's curious what it's like to touch her and kiss her and see what that connection would be. He's not quite saying he's choosing. So
apparently not.
Yeah, so Jess said that they have so much energy that they may electrocute themselves, you know, which I thought that was cute. Yeah. You know, Jimmy said he'll be feeling the love piece, but they have a lot of sexual tension. Mm-hmm. So he's looking forward to that. So I think that's more Jimmy's kind of curious about what the physical would be.
Right. Now, Jessica gives Jimmy something, and he didn't gift her anything.
Right.
And what she gifted him was very personal.
Yeah. Yeah. Very. It was beautiful. It was a letter that she wrote a couple years ago to her future husband. Yeah. So this is stuff that she's been thinking about. But I mean, you know, it was a very touching letter. And this is why I feel sorry for Jessica in a way, because she has been pouring herself out.
Yes.
And she's exposing a whole lot of herself, probably stuff that she doesn't tell everybody. The world knows a lot of her background now. Mm-hmm. But mainly Jimmy, you know, knows all this stuff. And I think the letter was super nice and it was touching. But I think that letter made Jimmy realize, like, wow, I can't keep dragging this out, because his whole demeanor changed.
Yeah.
After he read that letter.
He got emotional and says he's not sure he can tell her what she wants to hear right now. I'm like, wait, hold up, what? And here's the thing I like about Jessica. She's not, because he's like, I really, really, really like you. And she's like, look, hold up. We're adults. Speak like one. Use your words, Mr. Man.
Well, and that's his issue, because, you know, he reads that letter. He said he's happy and lucky that he's the man that gets to read that, because she said, I'm giving this to who I think I'm going to marry.
Right.
So that's letting Jimmy know, like, this is it. But he didn't reciprocate any other feelings or anything sentimental to her. Mm-hmm. And so he said that he's trying to get to a point where he knows for sure. And I like how Jess said this, that do that unapologetically, even if I'm not your choice. Mm-hmm. I want you to be sure. So I think that's nice. And then he said he wants to pursue a relationship with her, but he has some things to think about because she has Autumn.
Mm.
And I'm like, see?
I missed that part, yes.
This is why you bring this up in the very beginning, because if the because that's the deal with Jimmy. It's the kid deal. I don't think her background, how she grew up, the tragic things that she experienced as a kid with her parents, and then going to foster care and all that. It's the fact that she has a kid is the thing that's bothering him. This is my issue with Jimmy, because if you don't want to be with someone with a kid, then you should have just bounced after she told you that. That would give her a chance to either move on. So I feel like she has every right to be questioning, like, what he's talking about right now.
I like how she ended it by saying, you know, hey, if I even want it by the time you make up your mind, because, hey, go take your time. Make up your mind. Do what you need to do, because I'm not going to beg you. I like what she also said, that I am not going to chase you or beg you to be with me. I love that. And I respect her for that. And then Jimmy goes on to his next date with Chelsea. And he's a little distraught over the decision he has to make and wants to talk about something light. I do like how Chelsea just was like, no, let's talk about what's bothering you. I'm not letting you off the hook. Be a man, put your big girl panties on, and let's talk about it.
Well, true. I think that's great. But also, I think Chelsea's dramatic. So anything that's drama, this is more exciting than talking about other stuff, right? So, you know, Chelsea got Jimmy a gift, and he said that he didn't get her one because he didn't get a gift for anybody. So at least he's being consistent. Jimmy said he wanted to see the Jess thing through, but our conversation today was terrible.
Yeah.
And then Jimmy says, it's been a long process, been a long time ever had expressed feelings for someone. And then finally tells her that he loves her.
Surprising the hell out of Chelsea, who was like, I thought you were going to break up with me. That's why she was like, just let's get to it.
Everything fall. Everything surprises Chelsea because she has to get dramatic. Fall on the ground. Oh, I think I'm going to throw up.
That's exactly what you want to hear after you tell somebody.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I think I'm going to throw up. Yeah.
Really? Get up.
Well, and then Chelsea said that she hasn't told anyone that she's loved him yet, but she's asking Jimmy, like, are you 1,000% sure? Because I think Chelsea's very insecure and he's already told you. Mm-hmm. So if I just tell you I love you and you're like, are you 1,000% sure that you love me?
I'm like, you know what? You're right. I'm only 999%. I'm taking it back.
Yeah. I'm deducting 5 points for that question. 995%.
Two men have told her they love her. And she's like, I'm not going to say I love you until I get a proposal. Which, to your point, does scream insecurity because then, so when they drop to the knee, that's when your love kicks in?
Right.
That's stupid.
Right.
You either love somebody or you don't. Okay? They get back to the quarters. Jessica sees Chelsea and knows immediately. And I like the way she did this. She's like, well, Jimmy didn't end it with her because they went through the whole date. And if he ended it with her, they wouldn't have made it through the date. So in that moment, she kind of knows.
Women's intuition. But Jessica's smart. I mean, she's smarter than what, you know, people may give her credit for from watching this. But she's sharp. She picks up on that fact. Chelsea comes in being a little mouthy and goes to her little clique of girls. Yes, because she keeps doing it. Every time that she comes in, when Trevor said that he loved her, she came in. Trevor told me he loved me.
She came in and announced it to the world when Trevor did it. She could, Trevor said he loves me.
Right.
But she didn't do that when Jimmy told her.
She did it. She went to her little clique of girls that she could talk to and told Laura that Jimmy said that he loved her. So then Laura, which you probably would like this, did what the good friend would do. She goes to Jessica and says, it's time to go.
Yo, and Laura is so straddling the fence. She's like, well, I'm not going to tell you what she said. I'm not going to tell you what was said, but I'm looking out for you.
Yeah.
You should just leave right now. I respect Jessica. For this one reason only. She sat there. She fake cried her way with all the girls coming over. And, oh, my God. Because the producer's like, hey, all y'all, bring your ass over here. We need a moment. All right. Jessica, cry. I just bow your head so we don't really see that there are no tears. All right. We're good. We got it. Good. And scene. But she stays so that she can go back on her date with Jimmy. And Jimmy comes in. And he is just ready to beat around the bush. And she's like, yo, no. Look, spare me the pity party. You owe me a single ounce of directness, you spineless bastard.
Well, first, you got to love how Jessica walked into that pod. Like, she got called into HR and is about to get laid off, and she knows it. So she's just sitting there just like, yes.
What's my severance?
What do you mean? Like? Yeah, yeah. What's my severance? Is what I say. Thank you. But I like Jessica's not messing around and she's got to hold him accountable. And this is what Jimmy's not used to.
Right.
A woman that can talk to him that way because he's used to being in charge. I like somebody like a Jess that can talk to somebody like that because every guy, we need somebody that can every now and then check us.
Yes.
Right.
Indeed.
And Jimmy doesn't want to be checked. Mm-mm. So she calls him out and says, you owe me just be a little bit of directness. So then he starts to fumble around, your incredible mother, and you're going to be an amazing wife for someone else. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's how they always tend to. I wonder if the producers tell them to word it certain ways because people do that all the time. Every time we do Love is Blind.
I think the thing about it, they probably told him, make sure you say, he's probably saying, well, how should I do this? Well, you know, pair some compliments and all this other stuff, right? Because then he goes, because I love someone else, right? And it's interesting the way that kind of went because, remember, he was going to beat around the bush a whole lot longer. She forced him to get to that long-ass, drawn-out thing that he did finally give. But I like how Jessica did not ease up on him. She's like, look, it's hard to feel sorry for you because he let her pour her heart out to him more than once, and he kept dragging her along. And like she said, you brought me along all this time. And because of you, I had a chance. I told you, you're my one. And because of that, now I have no chance to build with anybody else. So this is their last day.
Right.
And she's like, now I'm going to leave alone. Thanks to you, you spineless, rat-faced bastard.
How do you really feel about
some of the things?
How do you really feel about Jim? So, she's right. He ruined the opportunity for her because the kid thing was the issue from the very beginning. And I like how she said, for the right person, I would never have to worry that I was too much. But she feels that Jimmy knew she was too much for him, and he's kept dragging on, which she was too much for him. Once she told him about having a daughter, that's when he should have bailed. At that very moment, and just kind of said,
he didn't want to seem like an ass on TV.
Yeah, yeah. So then she would have had opportunity to talk to some of the guys. And then I like how she's when she tells him, you know, don't insult my intelligence. He's like, well, I didn't know for sure till today. And she's like, no, you told someone else yesterday that you loved them. Right. You knew then. Mm-hmm. So don't lie and say, well, I didn't know till this morning.
Right.
Yeah, dude, you're full of crap. But she held him accountable to it. And I love that, how she called him out. She said, if you need someone to hold your hand and coddle you, that would never be me.
But also like how she said, I am the one person who will do these things for you. Right. And I can't remember the exact thing, but it was more so on an emotional and being there for him status. I don't remember the exact word she said, because when I first saw the clip that followed that, I thought that she was talking about looks.
Yeah.
But really, when she goes, when you realize what you missed out on, you're going to choke. You're going to need an EpiPen to open up your airwaves, you spineless, rat-faced bastard. And I'm sorry.
Well, now I wonder what Jimmy's allergic to, because now she lets us know that he has an EpiPen. But I'm curious what she meant by that too, because I was thinking looks. That when you see what you missed out on. That,
yeah.
But I don't think she said anything negative about Chelsea.
She didn't.
Or anything. But I just think I was thinking looks, but maybe.
And you know, here's what we'll do. I may go back and rewatch that last part of this episode just to be sure, because I swear it sounded like, because something tells me this is gonna come up again. But I think it was more about, it's something that she said about the way she is for her man, but which is, he says it's too much, but she's the way she is for a man. And she put everything out there for him. So when you find out, when you realize what you missed out on, and maybe she did mean a little bit of looks too, because let's be honest, there's no Megan Fox on the other side.
I think I saw someone on one of our other videos with Megan Foe. not Fox, but Foe.
You know, it's, if you ever watch Young Justice, that's the young DC superheroes. It's Megan. Was it Megan instead of Megan?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think in this situation, just to defend Jimmy a bit, you got to go with your heart, you know, and go where all that is. But outside of this, I think Jessica's a better choice.
Yeah.
And not just because of looks. I just like her personality and her attitude, where Chelsea, I don't know, but kudos for Jessica. She has every right to be upset. Mm-hmm. Even though she said earlier, the date they had the day before, unapologetically, do what you got to do. And if it's not me, but now she's like, no, you ruined it. You messed this whole experience up for me.
Here's why I don't fault her for that. Because yes, do what you need to do. Don't worry about feelings. But then he came in tiptoeing. And she's like, no, get to the point. What is it? Because I already know what the answer is. Don't BS me. I'm not going to feel sorry for you. Because he's trying to cry and feel, you know. No, you don't get that. You've already chose your happiness. That's what you think is your happiness. You're here to let me down. It's like when you go to fire somebody, you don't sit there and, well, you know, you're a great worker. I know you'll be an asset to any company. Then why am I not an asset to you? Don't feed me all the BS. Get to it. Let's move on.
Compliment sandwich. You know, Jessica, you're a beautiful person. You're a great mother. You're going to be a great wife for someone else. I don't want you, but I want you to be happy. And I think that you're going to find your special person. Yeah, no.
It's just not going to be me.
Yeah, it's not going to be me. Oh, we're doing a double-decker compliment sandwich. He's
like, I wish you the best of your future endeavors.
Yeah, wish you the best of your future endeavors. Security will escort you out.
We'll send you your things. I'll send you back that letter.
Yeah. That's jacked up. Because does he give the letter back?
Yeah.
I hope he does. I hope that wasn't the original, but I hope he gives the letter back.
2 episodes to go before the next drop. And I think we're now nearing the point of where we get all the couples and heading to Dominican Republic for the for the get to know each other time. This is where the fun begins, and this is where my wife doesn't like the first couple of episodes of Love is Blind every time because she doesn't like that whole getting to know everybody. Like, let's just get to where they couple off and let's get to it. So,
well, yeah, but that's where some of the fun stuff is because you learn a little bit about not only the couples that made it, but also the people that didn't make it because, you know, we would have had Matthew.
For that, she watches us.
Right.
So we suffer through it so you don't have to, but we appreciate you for doing it. Hey, look, don't forget, man, if you haven't already, hit the like button. Also, do us a favor. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. And if you are and when you do, hit the bell for notifications. Therefore, you'll know when the next 2 drop. Matter of fact, we're probably going to drop them Monday and Tuesday night and put them up as premieres so that we can all jump in the live chat and talk about it as we go along. I know this weekend we had so many going and just dropping at different times. But Monday and Tuesday evening, we're trying to drop those in there and set them as premieres so we can all jump on and have some fun conversing on.
Yeah, it won't be live. It's different. That's different than the live. But it will be a premiere. But still, love to hear y'all's feedback, comment on this. Tell us what you think about these couples and where they're at so far in the process. If you're one of those people that go on Reddit and do all that searching to figure out where it all ended, don't tell us.
Yeah,
don't ruin it for the other people, please.
And what we're going to do is once we have all the couples, we're going to ask who's going to make it. Okay, yeah. So we'll pop. So it's probably going to be after episode 5.
Episode 5
will be there. So what we'll do is we'll put it on the poll for episode 6. Do a poll on that one. Who's going to make it? Who's not?
Yeah, good. Right. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, sir. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.